thank you very much for changing your schedules and coming so quickly. I know that we had to schedule this meeting very quickly without giving a lot of forewarning, but we have two or three things on the agenda that are very, very important. And again, if for your friend's sake, make sure that if they are not here or tuning in from afar, that you let them know what happened here. It's really important. It might be good for everybody to watch it being as it is up on the web after it's been streamed. So we're basically only going to cover two topics today. The first is a facilities update. We have lots and lots of things going on. And the second is the process that we'll be using for administrator reviews. So we've got Diane who'll talk and then Isabel. But before we start, I'd like to once again thank profusely those of you who showed incredible initiative and professionalism when we had our floods yesterday and who acted very quickly in various buildings and once again, hopefully not because we're so practiced in this, but because you have just such plain good sense and showed just incredible professionalism in making sure that we have managed once again to save most of the materials that are in the flooded parts of our buildings. There are many, many of you. I hesitate to go through the names because I know I'll forget someone. But there are a number of Hustle staff members, particularly Elizabeth, who were there on the scene in a minute, as well as, of course, Dean's office staff and our very practiced but very professional group of rare and special collections librarians who were down there with their sleeves rolled up, mucking through the muck in the basements. So with that, I'll turn this over to Diane. Thank you.
Great. Good afternoon. Let's try this. Good. Right. Well, I just wanted to go through in the next 15 or 20 minutes some of the major initiatives that are underway with special attention given to the major Hustle McLennan Redpath complex project, which is the repair of the terrace. So I'll end with that because I'm sure there'll be questions and we'll have an opportunity to address all your questions. So we'll just run through what's happening at Schulich, at Life Sciences, and at Hustle. Schulich, we've talked about this a couple of times, but essentially they're replacing the roof on this historic building. It's a $3 million project. There's also major water infiltration on the eastern wall under the roof, so there is going to be a major reconstruction of the Schulich roof and back wall. The timeline for this, it begins June 11th, actually, and runs through all the way to the end of the year. Now, Louis and staff are going to be briefed thoroughly. The collection will need to be covered on the sixth floor, and there may be no access to the sixth floor during certain periods. But it will play out over time, and Louis will keep his group informed. The impact on staff and students, of course, noise, and possible shutdown of level six. But that's about to begin, so please work with Louis. Francisco will also be involved in tracking the project. The CyberMed is the initiative that we've talked about over the last year. It's the multipurpose teaching and learning floor on the second floor of the McIntyre building. This is a $4 million project that's a collaborative project with the Faculty of Medicine, Teaching and Learning Services, the library, and funding from Quebec. In fact, I'm leaving here to go to a meeting to sort of the last meeting before the work begins. But the purpose of the space is teaching and learning and study. So you can see from the three-dimensional picture, it's a better one than we had the last time, there are three 80-seat classrooms. A lot of technology in the classroom, active learning, should professors wish to teach that way or traditionally. Also, there are seven small group classrooms, which from our perspective are really interesting because they'll also become bookable group study rooms after teaching hours, with the study space sectioned off in this area. So when students will have lots of places in which to both learn and to study throughout the 24-hour period. The staff lounge on the fourth floor, work has begun, and it should be ready by July 2012. There's a new kitchen, new dining area, a lounge zone, and I know it's something everybody's excited about, a dedicated washroom, and the staff were involved in the selection of colors, fabrics, and so on, and we're happy to report that it's recycled fabrics on the chairs. Just to give you a kind of a picture, entrance hallway, this is a common washroom for students studying on the floor, but once you enter the staff lounge, dedicated washroom, kitchen, multiple seating for dining, and then the staff lounge over here with exits. So I think with the new lighting and the new colors and the new furniture, it will be a really pleasant place. Now, hustle. The McLennan Redpath Complex projects fall into three categories. First of all, the single service point and staff relocation. Work has been underway. The self-serve reserve room and audiovisual self-serve room is in place. Let me just move that there. Actually, I'll come back to that. Staff should be in their new space through June. We're hoping to be ready by mid-June, always giving a little bit of room for delay. So staff should be in their new space in the McLennan Library Building by the end of June. The new service desk is being built as we speak, and that was designed to staff specifications, and that should be delivered very shortly for test running. And so the single service desk, the self-serve reserve room, will be launched when everybody's ready, when the collection's ready, when the staff are ready, and when the furnishings are ready. So our goal is to have that, certainly the staff in place by July, and Amber is handling that with her team very well. So she will keep you informed as things progress. Just moving back to the other big project on the third floor, this is the renovation of the third floor to hold another set of electronic compact shelving, but also the renovation of the perimeter for student seating. And this is a group study, less quiet floor, which our students that we work collaboratively with from the Library Improvement Fund had a lot of input, and their recommendation was they needed more group study space. So if we take a look at the perimeter, you'll recognize hustle. Of course, this is where the compact shelving will go. And the group study areas range all the way around this is McTavish Street, just to get you settled. This is Sherbrooke. This is the campus, and this is the north side of the building. So group study areas where tables can move are here. Group study in this little zone here. We'll have four bookable group study rooms in the center and on the north wall. More group study all the way along the campus side with the more traditional seating along Sherbrooke. With some a new design of furniture along McTavish. So with signage, students will know it's group study. They'll be talking, and it is our be interesting to see how the other floors become quieter. Signage will be improved throughout the building. Now, just to let you know the timelines for this, 5 months, it has begun. It began in early May. We should have everything in place by the end of September. The collection is accessible at all times. We've been through this drill before on the other floors, so you know how it works. And facilities is managing the project. We're going to tender. Work begins before construction holiday, which is in July. And if all goes well, it should be in place by the end of September. And we're really, really grateful to our student groups for very large funding support for this, which came from both the SSMU, from the Arts Undergraduate Society, and the Postgraduate Student Society, plus operational funds. Now, this is the important part which we wanted to make sure everybody is aware of now so that we can have support in place for you because of the noise, as you will hear. First of all, phase two of the three-year terrace renovation project begins in June. We had the phase one last year, which was that recreation of the walkway between McLennan and Redpath and the new stairs. Now they will be replacing the terrace between the McLennan entrance down to some point just before the Redpath entrance. Valerie asked me earlier, you know, exactly where. I think it makes sense that it's going to be at the end of the jutty out part of Redpath. I don't want to get too technical in my architectural terminology, but specifically it will be before, it will be somewhere before the Redpath entrance. So it's a very large chunk of terrace. It will be replaced completely. It will begin after convocation, and it will run through till October. They're rebuilding. They're drilling down into the slab and essentially replacing the entire terrace with proper drainage. The point that's made here, down to the slab is key because... before I tell you the bad news, let's look at the good news. You can see this is in front of the McLennan entrance. They will be improving the edge so that it meets code so people don't fall off down the 30-foot drop to the campus. Not that anybody has yet, but whenever you change something, it has to be built to code. So a lot of discussion went into the... this area. So this takes us down. My guess is the terrace project for phase two will stop just about here, allowing people to walk around the Redpath Hall and into the Redpath main entrance here. In front of the dean's offices here, they'll be turning that area where we used to have the sculpture into really quite a lovely landscaped area with seating. So it will be beautiful. You can see they're following the same, using the same materials that they've used in the walk between McLennan and Redpath. So phase two. Here's the impact. We're expecting from, first they're going to be delivering materials to the area in the first week, but heavy drilling will occur for 3 weeks. While they get down into the slab, it will be very noisy. We're very concerned about the noise that particularly collection services will hear. We will have the Hustle Loan staff over into McLennan, so that will be good for them. They'll be away from Redpath, but the people that work up in collection services, LTS, right over the windows, back here, you're going to be right above the drilling. So there will be standard construction noise after that initial three-week period. probably livable. We'll see. We just want to alert you to the fact that that first 3 weeks will be heavy. And the workmen are scheduled between 7 to 3. We've asked questions like, can they work around the clock and shorten the time period? The expenses are just too great to have double shifts. They can't start before 7 because of the sound restrictions in a public space where people live. So they will work between 7 and 3. The hostel itself will be accessible, same as last year, walking around and in through Redpath. For those of you that have any kind of mobility issues and wish to come in through the service point, you may do so. With Linnell card access, no problem. We've spoken with our colleagues in the service point, and they're more than happy to let people come in and out before and after hours via that McTavish entrance. They just ask us to be really, really careful as we enter that the door shuts behind us. That's all they ask. So I said, of course, we'd be careful. So speak with your supervisor about gaining access, and we'll set it up for you. So noise. We're really sensitive to this. Staff will have the option of alternate workspace in either Hustle or Schulich if the noise is too much. And we've started working with Joseph and Valerie to discuss how we do that. There are spaces in the McLennan Library building. We have, and I love saying this, M3-37A. There are other rooms internally in Hustle where we can move people to, other seminar rooms, group study rooms, the second floor. Schulich also has lockable, secure e-classrooms, 313 and 413. We can set that up. So it really depends on your needs and the materials you work with. So we're going to be working with your supervisors. Please work with them, and we will get you into alternate workspace if the noise is too much or you just want to make sure you're relocated before the noise starts. We're very, very flexible on that. So that's the important news. Signage will be set up as it was last year to direct students and staff outside the buildings to get you to the main entrance. There'll be signs inside saying exit via Redpath. There'll be noise signs. Sabrina will be helping us with ensuring that's set up in advance. We've had the trial run with last year, so we're confident we can roll this out effectively. But I'm happy to take questions, concerns. Last point, I forgot I had this slide. CyberTech may be impacted. I would not want to be a student working down in the CyberTech while they're drilling into the slab just above my head. So we may just want to close it and direct students either to a quieter branch or upper levels of McLennan. And signage will be there to direct them. So your questions and feedback and assistance in making this go as smoothly as possible. Yes, Margaret.
Are you starting work on McTavish?
No, we were expecting that to happen simultaneously, and that project was canceled. Whether it's going to be next summer, it's unclear. So we'll be able to access via the campus or up McTavish. Sorry? Oh, the question was, sorry, from Margaret was, is the McTavish Street project going to take place this summer? After yesterday's flood, I wish the answer was yes, because it clearly needs new drainage. The roadway is sloping in all the wrong directions. It slopes right into us. But no, that project is not taking place this summer, and we don't have a date for when it will take place. Juanita.
Will there be access to the late drop boxes for returns, which is on the side?
there should not be a problem with the walkway and access to the late drop box, because the Office for Students with Disabilities has just opened. So that phase one of the terrace project is not affected. They just can't get up. They can get up to the stairs, but then they can't go beyond the top of the stairs. So, yeah, good question. The returns continue. If you have any questions after you think about it for a bit, really don't hesitate to email me or call me. Francisco also has answers on schedules, or your supervisor. And any suggestions on how to make this go smoothly is very much appreciated. Great. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce Isabel.
Today I'm here to talk about the assessment of the senior management that will happen in a few weeks. Colleen mentioned it to you a few times already, different venue, that she was interested to have a survey and assess the senior management team of the libraries. So we're talking about the associate directors and the dean herself. The objective of this assessment will be to provide us with behavioral and performance feedback about the participant, but also very important to the participant. It's going to give us a benchmark of where our strengths are and where the gap in the skills are also. Very important to be aware of this, especially when you're going through major changes to an organization or implementing new processes. Once we'll have that benchmark, also we'll be in a better position to develop any leadership development plan to answer those specific gaps that would be identified if there is any. So the tool that we will be using for that 360 assessment degree is called Benchmark, and it's an off-the-shelf survey that's created and owned by the Center for Creative Leadership, or CCL. This is a group, worldwide provider, well-ranked, that focuses on executive leadership education, and is also well-known in the ARL group, and is working towards developing future leader in the ARL libraries. So it's going to give us an in-depth analysis of observable behavior that you see in the day-to-day work of the ADs and the dean. So it's going to assess 16 different competencies, but also I think it's 4 or 5 behaviors that could potentially derail someone's career as a leader. What's very important also is that those 16 competencies, and you'll see them in the next slide, might be called a little bit different, but they're really in line with the 7 core competencies that McGill has for the supervisors and the M groups. So we're really in line with what is done currently at McGill. So as an example, the first group of competencies that the assessment will evaluate is the ability of our senior managers to lead our organization. So it's going to look at their strategic perspective, being a quick study, their decisiveness. You can read. I cannot speak, but you can read. And the change management. So for some of you who know about the 7 core competencies at McGill, we call them performance orientation, managerial courage, and change agility. The second group of competencies will be how our leaders effectively lead others. And those are the different specific competencies confronting problems employees. Here at McGill, we call that managerial courage, participative management, team building, building collaborative relationship, compassion, sensitivity, putting people at ease, and respect for differences. The third group and final group of competencies is taking initiative, composure, the balance between personal and work life, self-awareness, and career management. And again, if you are interested by the correlation with the M competencies, it's client service orientation, self-awareness, and again, managerial courage. And finally, what's different, I guess, from what we have here at McGill is they have also identified its five potential behavior that, if observed in a leader, could potentially lead for derailment of a career, derailment of a project or a team. And those are those five items: problems with interpersonal relationship, difficulty in building and leading a team, difficulty changing and adapting, failure to meet business objective, and too narrow functional orientation. This one was not too intuitive to me, so I look into it. So we're really talking or focusing on the lack of depth in knowledge and experience to manage outside the person area, or current role if you prefer. So those will be the things that we will assess with that survey. So when will be the survey conduct? It's going to start next week and be open for 2 weeks, all the way to June 15. Who will participate, or who will be the participant of the survey? The four ADs, Joseph Hafner, Diane Cohen, Louis Hull, Carole Urbain, and our own dean, Colleen Cook. Who will be the raters? Us, all staff, will be the raters. And I'm using this terminology because this is what you'll see in the different documentations that you will receive. So the staff is the raters, the participants is our senior management team. So as staff members, depending on your role and your relationship with the person evaluated, you will be put in a group. There's four different groups. You have the immediate boss, peer, direct report, and others. Now, the definition used for that survey is very liberal. When we say peer, it's not necessarily someone at the same level in the hierarchy, but more someone that you collaborate with on a daily basis often. And same thing for direct report. We're not necessarily focusing on immediate direct report, but more the team that you're leading or responsible for. So that means that for all staff, you could have to rate at least two different participants, and for some of us, it could mean also five participants. How is it going to be a group? Here's an idea of what the grouping will be. So for Colleen, obviously the immediate boss is the provost. The peer who will be assessing will be the different ADs and myself. The direct report for Colleen is the staff of the dean's office. And then you, the rest of the staff, and when I say staff, I really mean, again, the extended definition, all employees at the library, regardless of your position in the hierarchy, where you're located, and your role. And then you have the same thing for Diane as the AD, Carole Urbain, Joseph, and Louis. Now, if you're a staff member that has transferred, let's say in the last few months, you will put back in the group where you pass most of the last 18 months with. So I'll use you, Don, as an example. Sorry for putting you in the spot. You will put back in the Howard Ross team, and you would be here. Cheryl, I don't know if Cheryl is here, which is transferred from life science. She would be put back here, for example. So that will be the breakdown. And when you'll receive your invitation, because I'm going to talk about the process, it's going to give you also information in which group you have been categorized. So how is it going to work and what to expect? I think it's very important to remember that this survey is anonymous. I will not see the data. We will not own the data. It's administered by CCL. The data reside on a server at their place. All we will see is a report, and I'll show you an example after, of scored and combined data. So we'll see the final results. And three individuals will see the results: the participant, the dean, and myself. Again, there's no way for us to trace back who is the rater. What you're going to receive in the next few days is an email from CCL, so watch in your junk inbox also, that will invite you to participate to a survey. They will give you instruction on how to connect, how to create your user ID and password. Now, if you're a rater for more than one participant, you will receive multiple emails because you'll have different links, but you'll use only one username and user ID and password. We did the survey, and it takes a good 30 to 45 minutes to complete it. The questions are basically checkbox from 1 to 5, from totally disagree to totally agree, with also a 6th section of non-applicable or don't know. So you need to tick the box. It has 11 or 12 pages, I think, and it's a little bit tricky. You have, once you've completed the section, I would recommend that you press save to enter your information, but then you have to go back and click on the next page to move on in your survey. You can save it even if it's not completed and come back to it another time if you run out of time. The survey will be sent to CCL once you push the button submit. And when you have done that, you cannot go back. You cannot go back to change your answers. What I need to clarify with CCL is I'm not sure yet if you have to answer all questions. Oh, I see a nodding, so I have someone who, because we were testing with me, I'm the guinea pig. So you do have to answer all questions. So if you're not sure, then I would recommend that you tick the non-applicable or I don't know box. If you have any technical difficulties, I will be your IT hotline for for that time. So you call me and I'll help you. This is a sample of what the report would look like. So you would see the question, this is the actual competency. I'm sorry, we don't see too much, but these are the question, and then the score that the self, because each person, each participant will have to evaluate themselves, and then we will be able to compare it with the different... We'll be able to compare it with the different raters. So I don't know if there's any question concerning the assessment. Yes, Mark?
Two questions. One is just, will it be possible for you to post your PowerPoints on the library website or somewhere so that we can go back and check this? Okay. The other question, one of the things that will be a limit, is going to be evaluated has to do with work-life balance. Does this refer to how well supervisors manage their own work-life balance, which is not something that we'd have any information about and which is not particularly relevant, or does it have to do with how well supervisors foster a good work-life balance in their staff?
Both.
What about the first part? Because I have no idea how my supervisor manages his work-life balance. I'm not in a position to answer that.
Well, you will see by the questions. I mean, you've answered the questionnaire.
You can answer no information, yeah, or you don't
know. Mike.
Isabel, on the slide where you showed who for each person, you know, yes, that one. Are there the same number of raters for each participant?
No, obviously not. Uh-huh. For direct reports and other, it's important to have at least 4 raters, and we're exceeding that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's something I haven't said, but you will receive an invitation. So your participation is voluntary. But, I mean, the feedback that we'll get out of this assessment is priceless. As an organization, as also the individual being evaluated. The CTL? CCL, it's the acronym for Center of Creative Learning. I'm using their terminology, so when you receive the email, you're not surprised and press delete right away. So I guess if I'll put the PowerPoint on the U drive. Do you have a question, Nancy?
Sorry, Isabel, sorry, I caught you at the end. I have a question. I don't mean to target anyone. Actually, I think this is really interesting. I like this idea of having to be able to participate in this. But, like, I'm looking at Joseph, and I'm not singling out Joseph, but I am. Like, there's not many people in terms of LAs that are going to have this collection services. But aside from that, I'm looking at the other groups, and there seems to be a lot more participation from LAs. And he is an AD, right? And he... I mean, is there an... Can you tell me why? It's just collection services.
The first part is his own group, the third role, right? The bottom role for Joseph, because of his role as the head of collection services, it was determined that the impact was more towards other heads of libraries.
I don't know.
And that's why it was grouped this way.
Because I wasn't consulted, so it's I'm really excited about this, and I think people will go into this in good faith. Like, how are we going to know? Like, how much will we know? Like, we're not going to. You said the results are going to you. The company, it's anonymous to the company, and then I mean, certain the participants, yourself and the dean will be privy. I mean, we're participating, but how will we know what our participation, how it contributed to change, I guess, I can spend my time and fill it out and feel good about filling it out, but after that, like, I don't see the results, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what I do is I trust you that you're acting on those results in a good way. Is that it?
I'd like to respond to that.
Thanks.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a leap of faith here.
Yeah.
In the same way that this is a device, a process in the assumption that everyone has something to learn. And I've thrown my hat in the ring because I've been here for almost a year and a half now, and I'm sure that there are things that you could tell me about my performance that would really help. And it is up to me as the other administrator's supervisor to make sure that they grow and they develop and we all improve. So it's a process of continuous improvement. It's what we do. And I can, I hope that you see, if there are issues that turn out in the aggregate, because the data that we're going to see is averages. I mean, you aren't going to see things on the sides, the, you know, the tail ends of the normal curve. You're going to see the middle. If there are any issues, then that gets put into evaluations. My boss is going to, I mean, the provost is going to be able to see what, how you feel about me. And I assume that if there are any issues, that he's going to set up a goal for how I'm going to improve. It, and so I think that you'll be able to see the difference in change. Does that help? Thank you.
Thanks, Colleen.
Yes, Anna.
When we do our manager's performance, we have a year, like January to December. What's this date?
Well, we're looking at a five-year period, but, you know, we, realistically, 12 to 18 months. Observable behavior decision in the past 12 to 18 months. And for some of us, that's the amount of time we've been here.
for a lot of us. Again, the point in this is to is a self-awareness exercise and a coaching exercise in the end. So, I mean, honestly, if ancient history is not going to make any difference, then don't comment on ancient history. If you feel it's important, then do. If that's pretty much all I can say. I mean, typically what happens in these sorts of things is that people remember what is more recent in their memories. But, you know, answer what you want to. It's amazing when you have as many people respond as we will have to this, there is a place where there reaches a balance and you really do get a pretty good view. The reason why Isabel said that we have to have at least four people responding in any group is for anonymity and confidentiality. Because if it's fewer than that, then a group could be targeted, or not targeted, identified.
I have a question, and depending on the answer, I might have a follow-up. The question is, will the instrument be purely multiple choice, or will there be, is there a provision for free-form responses?
There's a provision for comments.
Okay. The follow-up is, you said that the purely statistical data would be translated into tables and graphs and so forth. In what way will the free-form comments be used? Will they be used at all? Will they be translated into summary comments?
Translated into summary comments. So, Carmela, if you were wondering what we were doing tomorrow, we have to send the invitation. Work-life balance, zero. Sabrina got it. So, for the next part, let's give a little HR update on recruitment. Sabrina, please stand up. So, in the month of May, we welcome our new communication officer, Sabrina Anna, who's with us today. She will be replacing Marika for the next year. So if you haven't met Sabrina, we're organizing meeting in every branches so she could drop by and meet with you. Feel free to call me or to call Sabrina directly. On the other hand, also Chris is not here. So Chris Lyons, since May 22nd, is now the head of the Osler Library of the History of Medicine. Congratulations, Chris, and good luck. And in the search for the life science librarian, we have found a candidate. We have made the offer, and we are waiting for an acknowledgement of our offer. So more information to come on this one. On the week of June 2018, maybe my search committee doesn't even know, but FYI, we're interviewing. June 18 and June 20th, we'll interview the candidates for the mat replacement in the Schulich Library. And soon we will be posting a new position. It's the McDonald Campus Librarian in replacement of Jen Sendick. And also the position for rare books, the liaison librarian for history of science. We have decided to close that position and redraft it as ed librarian and also librarian for history of science. So we're working on the posting, and hopefully it's going to go up really soon. So that's for the recruitment. For our library retirement incentive program, just a reminder that the deadline is tomorrow. So far, six staff members from the admin and support group have elected to retire and then will beneficiate from the program. To name just a few, we have Sandra Emery from Life Science, Andre Taylor from Life Science, and also Juliet Prashad from USL. Congratulations to you guys. Just a gentle reminder, we have our staff barbecue on June 19. Please RSVP before June 12, and we'll have your tickets around June 14.
Regarding that event was mentioned, but and it was mentioned, I believe, in one of the weekly updates, and it was said that we would be receiving an actual invitation. If this is the invitation, maybe it should be sent out by email too. Oh, it will be. Okay.
I'm fast. So proactivity, 5. Whoops, it's your birdie.
So cute. Well, first I have to go back. This is important. Okay. Everybody knows that this is the UT Longhorn, right? Okay. Just have to point that out. Okay. Bruna says I have to talk into the mic. That's the UT Longhorn. That's my alma mater. And that wonderful design is Sabrina's good work. So we can look forward to more of these in the future. And I really, truly hope that everybody comes. Whoops. Let's go back. Anything else? No? So any questions? Any further questions about facilities, about HR, about any life and love? Barbecues. Yeah, I wanted one that had a frowny face instead of a smiley face, but I couldn't find one real fast. So, any questions from afar? No? Okay, thank you all very much. Appreciate it.